moments, the opening song and the words began, "Let all things now living a song of thanksgiving." And I think this morning it's good for us to start out this Sunday with a simple thank you, God. Let's do it. Thank you, God. It's a good day. It is a good day. But I have have something I want to say to Katie. Where are you, Katie? And to Bruce. And to Talit. Okay. You guys have created a monster. On the way home yesterday, as I was driving, all I could think about was power washing the streets so that they would look beautiful. If you all have not noticed, please notice. They were up here yesterday power washing the sidewalks. The sidewalks were black. The sidewalks now are clean. And so thank you for your hard work. And if you could start on 175, that would give me a nice ride home. So. Yeah. They were actually having fun, so. That's good. Oh, good work, good work. Take notice, if you will. Those little things that are happening around the church that are being cleaned and cleared and taken care of. We have a wonderful group of people that work behind the scenes a whole lot to make sure that is happening. I want to say welcome to our visitors this morning, and we pray that the Spirit will rest upon you in such a way that you will return and that you will enjoy the company of this congregation this morning. A few announcements, if you'll take a moment to look in the bulletin. I think everything is noted there. I do want to draw attention. You see an insert this morning. This insert will also appear in our newsletter for June. But Alex is finally coming to the end of this particular journey in her life and is preparing for yet a second journey. And all I can say is that as a young pastor coming into a congregation, it is very hard to purchase stoles, to purchase robes. And yet our congregations expect us to be dressed. They expect us to have liturgical colors. And one of the sweetest gifts that I got when I graduated was a set of the four liturgical color stoles that was given to me by a family. And so on June the 9th, we will have a special offering. And it is the hope, the prayer of the session that you will join us in providing the funds. I would not in any way, shape, or form try to pick out a robe for Alex. Nobody can do that but Alex. But if we provide her with the funds to do that, then she can go in to her first ministry setting and be prepared. And so please start thinking about that, planning that. And speaking of that, again, you will read more about this in the newsletter. But the session, in our session highlights a few months ago, you were made aware that we have voted to have an intern from Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary come and work with us for 10 weeks this summer. This is a wonderful thing for this congregation. It's a wonderful thing for this young man. His name is Wilson Nicholson. And Wilson will be joining us the second week of June. and will be filling the pulpit some. He will be working across the board in all areas of the church. And so as his time gets closer, we'll do a little more introduction of him. But be praying for him already. He is finishing up his finals and making the decision to come here and to serve with us. On our prayer concerns, you see those that are listed. Melody this morning asked us to offer prayer for a teacher friend of hers named Caroline Traister. Caroline's mother suddenly died this past week, and so we want to keep her in prayers and keep Melody in prayers as she offers comfort to her. And then just a reminder of thanksgiving for the life of GR and for the life of Kathy Scroggins as we will celebrate their lives this week with memorial services. Jacob asked last week if we would pray for him. He is at a weightlifting tournament this week and just said, "Will you all pray for me?" And so I said, "Jacob, we will pray for you." And so let us not forget to do that. As we prepare our hearts to worship and to give thanksgiving to God, we remember this morning also all of those who have been affected by Mother Nature these last several days, and we pray that that they have a family of faith where they can be gathered this morning, where they can find courage and strength for what lies ahead of them. But together, I invite you to pray with me our opening prayer.
Gracious God, we can thank you.
Let us read our opening sentences responsively. We are the church that lives into God's future today. A church of many races, languages, and ethnicities.
A church that lives by the word of God, Christ's love, his name, his kingdom to come.
The one who is seated on the throne says to us, "See, I am making all things new." God's future is epic, and it's good news. How is it people will recognize us as followers of Jesus? Simply by how we treat one another. Let us confess how we have not loved as Christ loves us.
I'm going to invite you, the right side, to begin with me, the left side, if you will follow along with Charlotte. Creator and loving God, you kneel to wash our feet, yet we are reluctant for you to see all the places we have gone in our attempts to escape you.
You invade us with arms and in your waters of your love, even though those flashes are ahead of us.
We have received all the gifts you have to offer, yet we are tempted to think that they are only for us rather than sharing them. And together, forgive us. We are aware of this. God knows our faults. God knows our shortcomings. God knows when we stumble. God knows when we swear. God knows when we even get jealous and when we get a bit cranky. Good news is God knows that we aren't perfect and loves us anyway. So if God loves us, we are called to love ourselves. We're called to do the right thing always in love as we turn to our neighbor in need. And better yet, we're called to love them as Christ has loved us and to forgive them as Christ has forgiven us. Thanks be to God.
Me, please. Holy God, send your Spirit upon us that we might listen, discern, and take heart. Be near us this day, and may your word stay with us and live with and through us forevermore. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 148, and this also we will read responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all
seas. Wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and women alike, old and young together. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. Our New Testament reading is from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life."
And now these words from John's Gospel, from the good shepherd himself. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. And if God has been glorified in him, then God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. So little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I have said to the Jews, so I say now to you. Where I am going, you can't come. I give you a new commandment, though, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Because by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The grass withers, the flowers fade, the wonderful word of our Lord lasts forever. Thanks be to God. Another one of my favorites. Okay, here we go. Two alligators met on the shoreline. The first one, "Nice purse you have there." Second one, "Well, thank you. It's my ex-husband." Thank you, Phyllis. A grandpa to a grandma, "We're not old. We're recycled teenagers." Or this one, "I'm doing my part of repurposing. I'm keeping my 29th birthday forever." How about this one? "Hey, girl, I love the way you made that mason jar into a lamp, but I think you were supposed to take the jelly out of it first." And last but not least, "We're not hoarders. We're repurposers. Repurposed or purposed for one thing, repurposed for another." Isn't that the way of the world these days? It is so fashionable to repurpose things. And I can tell you, as one who loves the stewardship and the creativity, the fun of taking something that's old and seemingly worn out and turning it into something that is pretty and useful, well, for me, that is so satisfying. repurposing is not always something that is completely a bad thing. It just turns something into different. Gary jokingly says around our house quite often that if you stand still long enough, Sherry's either going to paint you or repurpose you. But then he says he's grateful that I have learned to do things on a budget. And trust me, you will find some strange things in my house repurposed for things you would never imagine them to be. But they work for me. But even in all of that repurposing, there's nothing that compares to God's purposing and God's repurposing plan. To use us in new and different ways for the very same outcome. And that outcome, our purpose, is to live in and to live out God's goodness, remembering always to give God the glory. It is in God's good hands that we were formed, and it is God's good hand who, like a potter, takes us and reworks us and repurposes us for continued good. The passage that we read together from Psalm 148 is this song of praise that calls all creation into worship and thanksgiving to God. We start with the heavenly creatures, with the stars, the sun, the moon, that firmament above, and then we move to the earth below. And then we go even below the earth. The earth praise continues with sea creatures and with weather and with earthly creatures and yes, even earthly kings called to give thanksgiving to God. This psalmist, if you didn't recognize, pulls from his Genesis 1 memory bank and reminds us why all things were purposed to praise God. God created us, the peoples of the world, that we might bring witness to the world around us about the blessings of our beginning. Our beginning was good, folks. It was very good. Now, fast forward to John's words in Revelation, that book that we so often, I think, associate with the last things, and it is associated with them, but it is such a much more full and richer text, and I think it deserves more airtime than just memorial services. John of Patmos doesn't just see, he beholds with all of his senses. He sees this vision of a new earth and a new heaven. It is this amazing setting where there will be no more mourning or crying or dying. A place where God no longer lives in heaven but comes to live with us. The psalmist talks of our beginning, John, our ending. And so what do we have there in the middle? Well, I think what we are supposed to have from that beginning of creation, we were made for love. Love for God, love for one another, love for self, love for all of creation. Made for the kind of love that lives itself out in serving. The kind of love where God comes to us in human form and teaches us how to wash feet. The kind of love that continues to show mercy through Christ and promises not to destroy the old kingdom, but to make it new. The kind of love that says, I am not going to throw you away. I'm not going to give up on you. I am going to repurpose you, that you might come home to the love that I have purposed for you from the very beginning of time. Have you ever found yourself pleading, God, don't give up on me, or don't give up on him or her, or don't give up on them? We need to be ready, because when we pray that, God is going to comfort us, but God also may make something very new out of us. And speaking of new, I want you to hear this brief passage from a commentary on Revelations. It says, "With God, it is not out with the old and in with the new. With God, the old is made new." A bit of difference there. And that message is at the heart of all of these verses. With God, the old is made new, not tossed out, not replaced, just made new. Psalm 48 might say it this way: the old tree doesn't have to die in order for life to be born again. It grows, it rests, it transforms. New branches grow, new leaves spread out. It's the same tree, but it's been made new for a different season. The disciples' feet are washed. They're still the very same feet that they had at the beginning, but those feet are repurposed with a new connection to the heart, to love and to serve as the Lord has done for them. And then the words of John, this old man who has been exiled to the island of Patmos, who has outlived most of his disciple friends. He has seen the church flourish, and then he's seen the church scatter. Scattered because of persecution, and that persecution concerns him. He knows humans well enough to know that if we are suffering because of something, then we're going to give rise to doubts about that thing. Is it what I am supposed to be believing? He is afraid that they're going to give up hope. And so he wrote this letter to these Christians who were suffering for their faith, trying to encourage them to hang on. Just last a little while longer. But then he does this story where he pulls apart the curtain of heaven and gives us this vision of what is happening in this heavenly realm. He talks about this cosmic battle between God and Satan. And the turf that they're fighting over, it's your soul and it's my soul. John goes on in this passage, and he uses throughout the book of Revelation a lot. He uses the word extensively. He uses the word overcome extensively. God will overcome evil. God will overcome Satan. We can overcome the hardships that come with the life of faith because it is a battle God will win. Even that battle we call death. You know, so very often we use the term pass away in connection with death, and rightfully so. But here in this vision, John speaks less about death and he speaks more about eternal life. The first heaven and earth will pass away. Mourning and sorrowing and pain will pass away. Death itself will pass away. Yet, in place of death, we will find the hope of resurrection in Jesus Christ. We will find a new act of creation. We will find a transformed existence. As a believer in Christ, I'm still the same person I was from the time I was born, and so are you. We have been purposed to enjoy God forever. We went astray. But then through that gift of salvation, we have been given that gift of being repurposed, being set right with God, that we might once again have that incredible purpose with which we began, to enjoy God. Think about all of the things in your life you would do if you said, my purpose in this is to enjoy God. My purpose in this today is to enjoy God. I think I'm going to plan this, and I am going to enjoy God. Wouldn't that be awesome? Death is real for those who have been created by God, but because of the saving grace of Jesus, our old selves can be made new. And they can be made new before we have a home with God. Or as John says, before God comes and makes a home with us. Isn't that amazing? God wants to come home to us. That is partnership at its best. The kind of heaven and earth where we finally understand what it means to wash feet. That's the new heaven and earth that John is talking about. The kind of heaven and earth where we remember that our purpose in life is to praise God and to enjoy God. The kind of heaven and earth where we embrace God's promise of turning from mourning, or turning our mourning into rejoicing, because we believe that we are resting securely in the hands of God, who will never, ever discard us or throw us away or replace us, but instead, in mercy and through the love of Christ, will repurpose us, will create us anew so that we can fulfill God's forever purpose in us. The restoration of our relationship to our Creator, to all creatures, and to all of God's creation. New Testament scholar Brian Peterson writes, it was never God's purpose for death and separation to be part of our human lives. God's purpose was always to be with us, to love us, and to live with us in close relationship. The new Jerusalem descends from God. And in John's vision, the final word is not that we will go to heaven when we die. Salvation is not about going to God, but God coming to us. Salvation is living with God in a relationship in the here and now, made new by the sacrifice of Jesus. That is the hope of resurrection that promises we will be the same and yet different. John says that everything will be made new, not that everything will be replaced by new and different things. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. So thanks be to God, who loves us enough to not throw us away, but to repurpose our lives in order that we can find our way back to that very good life that was created for us to enjoy. Repurpose so that we can be the disciples that we were meant to be. Repurposed so that all creatures and all of creation can once again sing out praise to God. The question that we have to ask ourselves is this: will we trust God's plan enough that we will embrace all of the new ways that God needs to repurpose us in order to enjoy God? I pray our answer is yes, Lord. Repurpose us for your purpose. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, read responsively. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell, the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Ghost?
Together we open up our hearts in prayer, remembering those that we have voiced this morning from our lips, and also those that rest deep within our hearts. Let us pray. God of all the ages, all of creation sings your praise. All of creation knows that you are the first, the last, you are the new, you are the one who breathed and who breathes life into us. You're the one who sparked that fire of energy within us and kindled within us imagination that brings life and ideas and dreams. God, you're the one who continues to create in us, to create in our world, in our universe. You continue to create life out of death and hope out of despair. Lord, you can bring peace out of war and hate. You're the one who loves us despite all that we have done or not done. You love us because we're your children. So for the gift of new life and new life forever through the sacrificial death and the resurrection of Jesus, Lord, we can say nothing less than thank you. But we pray that our words of gratitude will do more, that they will translate into action, that they will model the life that Jesus has lived for us. And Lord, those actions begin with conversation, with talking to you with prayer. And so we ask this morning that you hear our prayers, even as we listen for your answers. And we especially lift to you this day all of those who are close to our hearts, whose needs we are so often reminded of, and for ourselves in our own needs. Lord, we ask you to be with Caroline as she faces the reality of death with her mother. We ask that you be with those who love and who will mourn and celebrate the lives of GR and Kathy. Lord, we ask that you be with Jacob, this wonderful, beautiful child of yours who believes this to be his family, those of us gathered here in this room. Lord, we ask that you will be with Wilson as he is preparing to enter a new phase of ministry, and for Alex, as she is coming to the end of one journey and is looking forward, Lord, to her next journey. Lord, we ask that you be with the friends, friend of Denise, So many things, Lord, there that need your loving attention. We ask that you be with the Applegate family. We ask that you continue to heal the body of Shirley. We pray, Lord, that you will be with my nephew as he faces a future that he's not so sure of at this moment. Lord, for all who are in need of a place to call home, a family to call home, we ask that you will answer their prayers in your time, in your way. For Emily and for Peyton and for this beautiful young family, Lord, that they have, we ask that you would watch over them this week. And Lord, for all of those who have been affected and will be affected by nature, we pray, Lord, that you will find, that they will find comfort in you by the gifts of others. You made us a fearful, a disjointed band of disciples. You called us together to be your church. You called us together particularly to be your church at Eastminster. And so we pray that you would make us new and that we, your body in this world, would serve you with joy and hope and thanksgiving all of the days of our life. For this church, for your world, for all who lead, we ask that you be with us. And we ask this in the name of our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, there are so very many ways to love. What we offer this morning by way of our offering and God's tithes is just a small example of what God can take and can use and turn into love for one another. May we receive God's tithes and our offering.
Let us pray. You bless us in so many ways and with so many gifts, loving God. As we praise you, may we offer our gifts so those who have so little may be fed, clothed, healed, restored, and graced. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I told the Gleaners class this morning that there's so many blessings out there, so many scriptural blessings and so many seasonal blessings. And I don't like to read blessings, I like to say them, but I don't always take the time to memorize. Well, this morning is one of those. And so I am going to read what I believe is a beautiful blessing for this morning and the scriptures that we have heard. But before I do that, that invitation to discipleship, that is far more than an invitation to membership in the church. We love new members in the church. What we love more is for you to be a disciple, one who follows Christ, who loves with the love of the Lord, one who knows that God has a purpose for you. And if this is the place where you can live out that purpose of discipleship and do that by becoming part of our church family, I would love to talk with you, would love to do that. But this morning, this blessing as we go, let us now go to praise God with our hearts, to see the imagination of God in every moment of creation, in every person we meet in these days to come. Let us go out now to praise Jesus with our lives, to bring justice to those who are oppressed, to bring hope to those who live in despair and worry. And let us go out to praise the Spirit with our lips, to speak peace to all of the broken places in our communities, and to whisper grace to all of those forgotten by the world. May the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit be upon us all. Amen.